Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
My name is Mary, and I'm so honored to be here with you today. For those of you who don't know, we have been in a series this summer called The Struggle is Real. And if you've had a struggle of a week, can you just raise your hand with me? There are things in our lives that are hard. They're a struggle. And we've been going after this summer as a church. How do we, in these areas of our lives that are really hard, how do we put God first? And so we've been talking the last couple weeks about relationships. We've talked about leadership. Last week, we talked about money. But this week, we are going to be talking about emotions. And I'm very excited about this topic. The Lord has taken me through every emotion this week. So I'm really excited just to share with you what I feel like He's speaking to our church and He's speaking to me in this season of time. So can we pray as we begin? Lord Jesus, we just love you so much, God. We love you. We have come to encounter you today, God. So we just pray that you would open every heart, you would open every mind in this place, God, to your revelation, to your fresh word, God, to the thing that is going to hit them, Jesus, exactly where they are. I pray, God, as we open our word, God, it would transform us, Jesus. We've come to meet you today, God. We've come to seek you and seek your face. In your precious name, amen. Well, we're going to start in Psalm 139. So if you want to open your Bible to Psalm 139, verse 14, this passage says, "I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought." And I love to sit and ponder the wonder of God sometimes. The fact that He created every single one of us, that He knew who we would be before we ever came to be, that He put great thought and great intention into who we are when He was creating us. And today, as we talk about emotions, I can't help but be grateful that we serve a creative God, that we don't serve a God who wanted us to just come on this earth and be robots and seek the kingdom of God, but not really feel anything. He wanted us to feel. He wanted us to express how we feel. We are created by a God who, when we smell a flower, we feel something in our soul. That's the God who created us. It fascinates me that God actually gave us muscles in our face so we can express how we're feeling to other people. He didn't have to do that. But He's that creative. He delights in us enough that He wanted us to actually feel something. So can you guys do me a favor? Can you give me your best smile? So some good smiles. Did you know, I found this out in my research, there are actually 16 different ways you can smile. Yes, in my very scientific research, I figured this out. So God created us with all of these emotions, all of these feelings. And He actually created us with the ability to express them. Right? And when we express ourselves, when we laugh, when we give someone a hug, when we cry, when we throw our cell phone across the room, we are expressing how we feel, right? Does somebody do that sometimes? You throw your phone across the room when you're feeling a little upset. And to be completely honest, I feel like at times the church has really demonized this idea of being emotional or being too emotional. Right? And the honest truth about emotions is emotions are a gift from God. Yeah. Emotions are a good thing. And when we use them in the way that God intended us to, we are actually going to live such a deeper and such a richer life. Do you know that? if we use them in the way God intended us to. And so we all feel, all of us, we have feelings going on the inside, don't we? But a lot of us on this journey of life have learned whether or not it's okay to express how we feel, whether it's okay to show people and tell people how we're feeling. Can we agree on that? We all feel, right? But we have learned whether or not it is okay to express those feelings. People typically say that women are more emotional than men. Has anyone ever heard that?
Yes.
Has any woman ever been told that?
Yes,
I have been told that a time or two. But what's funny is when they do research on this, they actually find that on average, men and women experience emotions at the same rate. But men have been taught that it is not okay to express these emotions outwardly. So whether you have been taught by society, you've been taught by a stereotype whether or not it's okay to be emotional. Maybe you've been taught by your family of origin whether or not it's okay to express how you're feeling. We all come into this life. We all come into this walk with God with preconceived notions of what it looks like to be emotional beings. And going back to my childhood, I realized that there was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of stuff to be emotional about. But on the outside, you would never know there was anything wrong with my family because we never talked about it. We never expressed it. We never let on to it. Our go-to function when it came to emotions in my family was denial. Anyone grew up in a family like that? It was denial. So if something really, really hard happened, there was no crying about it. There was no talking about it. It just didn't happen. You just moved on. And so fast forward 20 years later in my life, that's a lot of hurt to bear. That's a lot of weight on your shoulders. That's a lot of unforgiveness when you've never expressed how you feel. And so sadly for me, I did not have a really great model of what it looked like to express emotions. I was really afraid of emotions. It felt like very unsafe territory. I didn't want to talk about them. I didn't want to show them to anyone. It was just deny, deny, deny. And so I would come into church and I'd be having a hard day. I'd be mad at God. I'd be feeling depressed. I'd be feeling whatever. And my prayer to God would be, God, just take it away. Take these emotions away. I don't want to feel them. And as the church, isn't that the way we respond a lot of times? That, oh, you're feeling depressed. Let's pray that away. Oh, you're mad at God. Well, that's not a very good emotion. You should stop feeling that way. Let's be honest. We say that to people. But what I want to talk about today is the idea that God gave us emotions not to be ignored, not to be prayed away, not to be suppressed, but he actually gave us the ability to feel so we could go deeper with him, so we could go deeper into our relationship with God, so we could go deeper into this place of knowing who we are so we can actually walk out our kingdom purpose. Amen? Amen. This is why he gave us these emotions. And so if we want to walk in the fullness of the identity God has given us, we have to know who we are, don't we? And some people think it's just, I'm going to say yes to Jesus once, and then I'm all good from there. Let me tell you, it is hard work to walk in our identity in Christ. It is hard work. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But guess what, guys? No one ever said becoming a new creation would be easy. I bet no one said that to you before. No one ever said it was going to be easy. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that you have to strive to become a new creation. But once you get in relationship with Jesus Christ, he is actually going to empower you and he is going to resource you to be all that you were created to be. And that takes hard work. That takes some soul searching. That takes some changing of my behaviors and beliefs that I'm walking around with. And if you're sitting here today and you're saying, you know, I've done the altar call before, I've been baptized, like I love God, but I am struggling. Can I just tell you today, there's more for you. There are such deeper places that God wants to take you to. And that is an exciting journey to walk out. It's a hard journey, but it's an exciting journey to walk out. And so when I say it's hard work, what I mean is sometimes we actually have to look back at our past. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what are the things that I'm actually carrying into my relationship with Jesus? What are the emotions that are coming up for me on a daily basis? What are you trying to tell me, God, through the anger that I'm struggling with? Maybe I'm trying to walk out this identity of I'm a new creation, but you know what? I have a really hard time with my dad. That's real. And maybe my relationship with my dad is actually affecting my spiritual connection to my father. Sometimes we have to go back and we have to work through some of this really hard stuff if we want to move forward with Christ. And it's not easy, but it's so good. And you know what I love about God is that he never leaves us. Mike was saying this earlier during worship, but whatever you bring to him, whatever you are carrying, whatever shame you have, whatever things you've done, whatever lies you've believed, Jesus is going to walk it out with you. And if you're saying today, I want to live in that identity, I want to be a new creation, I want to do the hard emotional work, he is going to walk it out with you. He is going to laugh with you. He is going to cry on the bathroom floor with you. He is going to celebrate you. He is going to love you through all of it. Amen? Let's turn to Luke 6:45. This is one of my favorite verses. And it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Whether you like it or not, whatever's going on in here is eventually going to come out. It's going to come out in your life. It's going to come out in the way you talk to people. It's going to come out in the way you treat people. And so some of us, we're really good at stuffing stuff down, or at least we think we are. We're really tough. We try to be really macho sometimes. I don't want to deal with my emotions. I'm just going to keep going. It doesn't matter how tough you think you are. It will eventually come out. And God did not create us to bear the weight of our guilt and shame. We were not created to do that. And you know what happens when I try to bear the weight of what he paid for on the cross? Two things happen to us. One is you're actually disconnecting yourself from the Father in that moment. You're saying, God, you know what you did? You know that price you paid? Yeah, I actually don't need your help. I got this. That's what you're saying in that moment. When you try to bear the weight of everything that's going on in your life, it's saying, God, I don't really need you. We're disconnecting ourselves from the Father. The second thing that happens is we are going to break. You will break. And maybe you've been doing this for 50 years. You've been carrying the weight on your back and you just think you're really good at it. I'm just a professional at bearing weight on my back and I don't need Jesus. You will break. And this happened to me about 2 years ago. I was in a really, really tough season of life and I broke. I was just about to graduate college. I was moving back here. I was starting my first job. It was a lot of stuff. And there was a lot of stress. There were a lot of questions unanswered for me. And I remember one day feeling like I was standing in the middle of the ocean and there was a 50-foot wave about to crash over my head. I felt overwhelmed. I felt terrified. I felt out of control. I felt extremely anxious about the future. And for me, this really started to manifest itself physically. I started having tremors in my hand. I started having heart palpitations. I was nauseous all the time. And the most irritating thing was my eye twitched for months on end. It was so irritating. And I remember looking up these symptoms, trying to figure out what they were. And every time I looked it up, it would come back. Stress, exhaustion, anxiety. And no matter what I did, I could not get rid of these symptoms. And so that's when I started thinking, maybe this is something deeper, like maybe something is going on. And what I didn't know then, but I found out later from going to a doctor, was she told me, Mary, you have so much emotional distress going on inside. And because you are not expressing it and because you are not relieving it in a healthy way, it's going to come out any way that it can. And so for me, it started physically manifesting itself in these ways that I couldn't control. My body literally didn't know what to do with the 20 years of emotion that I had never learned to expel in a healthy way. And so when I tell you that you will break, I'm telling you from experience, you will break. We were not created to bear these things on our own. Jesus died on the cross so we could surrender it all to him. Amen? And this was a very, very hard season of life. This went on for almost 2 years. I felt like that every single day. I felt awful. And it brought me back to this verse in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. He himself bore our sins. He himself sacrificed. He himself died on the cross, so I didn't have to. And it came to this really humbling place in my relationship with God where I said, I don't think I'm doing this right. I don't think me trying to handle everything is working out so well. And I think I actually want to try something different. I think I'm actually going to come before you humbly, God, and say, I'm going to resurrender my life to you, Lord, and I'm going to let you do the healing work that only you can do. Because this doesn't seem like the abundant life you promised. This actually seems really, really hard, and I'm done. And so for me, I went on this journey of healing with God, and that's what I want to share with you about today. But here's the thing about seeking emotional healing through Jesus. You have to be honest. And if you are not willing to be honest before God, it is a waste of time. Has anyone ever been to coffee with someone and they say, you know, hey, I want to talk to you about something, or hey, let's get together. You know, I want to process something with you. And then you sit down with them and it's like nothing. Like nothing comes out. You ask them leading questions. They say nothing. There's no transparency. There's no vulnerability. But isn't that how we are with God sometimes? He knows there's stuff going on. We know there's stuff going on. But we are so scared to be honest with him. We are so scared to just be vulnerable and say, God, I need some help. God, I'm struggling. And I think God actually requires us to be vulnerable in seasons like this. God is not going to force himself on you. He's a gentleman in that way. He's not going to force himself on you. He's actually going to require you to be brave and to be bold and to be honest and come before him and say, God, I want you to actually search my heart. And David does this so beautifully in the Psalms. Again, back to Psalm 139 in verse 23, he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. If God is actually going to lead you to healing, you've got to give him access to your heart. You've got to give him access to your heart. And most of us, we are longing to know God in a deeper way, but we're terrified of what he's going to find when we actually let him into our heart and we actually let him into the things that we're struggling with and we're ashamed of and that are challenging. But you know what I love about God is he's not just a friend who's going to vent with us. He's not someone who's just going to give us some vague pieces of advice, but God is our healer. And so every time you come to him and you are vulnerable and you are brave and you say, God, here's my heart, search me and know me. That is where the healing begins. There is breakthrough when we say, God, would you look inside of me? Would you see if there is any offensive way within me? That is where transformation begins. Amen. And so healing for me didn't just look like sitting in my room and praying and that was the end of it. God actually led me to some real practical steps. And I want to encourage you today, God might be asking you to do some really practical things. If you need healing, if you need healing in your body, if you need healing mentally, emotionally, he might be putting some really practical things in your life. For me, it looked like going to a doctor. I got blood work done. I changed my diet. I started taking vitamins, guys, vitamins. I started exercising. I started to steward the gift that God gave me. You know, God gave you your bodies. God created our bodies. And some of us, we're really good at going to church, but we're really bad at stewarding our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies." Sometimes healing looks like going to the doctor. Sometimes healing looks like going for a walk. And the Lord will lead you to that. He will lead you to the people that you need to see. Another thing he did was he led me to an amazing therapist. Amen. Yay for therapists. I love them. And here's what I have to say about therapy. There is such a stigma when it comes to therapy, that therapy is for the weak, that therapy is for those who their life is a mess. I remember the first time I told my dad I was going to go to therapy, and he goes, "That's such a waste of time. Why would you do that?" Ooh, okay. I'm going to go do that with my time. Thanks, Dad. But what I have to say about therapy is actually for those who are brave enough to say, "I don't have it all together, and I would actually like to pursue healing." Amen? And I think that's actually a really brave choice. I think it's a really great choice to make. And guess what? I'm not impressed by people who have it all together. Just not impressive. I love people who say, "I'm working on it. I'm asking hard questions. I'm going after tough stuff. I've known God for 20 years and I'm still waiting on a fresh revelation." That's interesting. So emotions, they're this beautiful thing that God gave us. They are a gift from God. And he gave them to us so we could actually go deeper in our understanding ourselves and so we could go deeper in our relationship with him. But I want to talk about next is this whole idea of being ruled by our emotions. So I want everyone to say this with me. Say, emotions are a gauge, not a guide. And what I mean by this is that your emotions are meant to alert you. They're meant to alert you, and so you can take a measure of what's going on in your heart. But many of us, when it comes to emotion, if we are feeling something really strongly, we decide to act on that emotion. We don't check in with God. We don't check in with the Holy Spirit. We just act on it because we're feeling it so strongly, right? That is being controlled by our emotions. That is letting our emotions be a guide in our lives. So let's use fear, for example. Fear, it's a really common emotion that comes up in probably all of us. And when fear comes and fear rises up in me, I have two choices. I can either let it be a guide. So let's say I have a great opportunity. You know, the Lord wants me to go minister somewhere, but I start feeling fear. Ooh, I'm gonna have to get on a plane. Ooh, I don't know if people are gonna like what I have to say. I don't know if I have enough money to do this. I have all this fear coming up inside of me. So fear as a guide is me saying, you know what? I don't feel good about this. I'm not having peace about this. I'm just feeling afraid. So I'm not gonna do it. It's just not a good idea. My other option is I can actually use fear as a gauge. And what I do when fear is a gauge is I say, that's fear. Fear is coming up. I'm going to go back to my heart and I'm going to bring this before the Lord and I'm going to see, why is this emotion coming up in me? And this is super practical. I do this all the time. And I'll come before the Lord. You can do this in your car. You can do this on the floor. You can do this anywhere. And you just come before God and you ask him, "God, search my heart." You express to him how you're feeling. What are the things you're struggling with? And God will literally ask you questions. He will ask you questions. He will counsel you through that fear. "Mary, what are you afraid of?" "I'm afraid people aren't going to like me." "Okay, what's going to happen if people don't like you?" And he starts getting to the root of that fear, because fear is what we're feeling on the surface, but there's so much underneath that fear. And there's so much that he wants to understand. And so we can go into that deepness and that depth of why we're feeling it. And so he's going to ask you these questions and then he's going to search your heart. He's gonna bring up what's really, really deep below that fear. And you get to pull apart this fear with God. Because it's not the fear that I want to dictate what I'm doing and the decisions I make. It's actually God, it's his truth that I want to dictate where I'm going, amen? Jeremiah 17:9-10 says this, "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be." This verse says our heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful. And I love this verse because it really gets to the idea that sometimes our feelings are such garbage. Yeah. They are. And if you let them take root in your life and guide the decisions that you make, you are going to lose out on the things that God has for you. If you do not first seek the Lord, if you do not seek his truth and his guidance and his will for your life, emotions are going to run wild and you're going to lose out on the things that God has for you. They take us down this nasty path of believing things that God never said. And fear, for example, fear is such a liar. And fear will cause you to give up things that the devil wants to steal from you. He doesn't even have to work to steal from me the opportunities that God's putting in front of me because I'm just giving them up. I'm just giving them to him willingly because I'm so afraid. And so this is where I need to come to the Holy Spirit. I need to bring my heart before him, let him search my heart, and I need to dismantle the lies that I'm believing. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish, say demolish. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so for me, with my anxiety, with my fear, I had to get to the heart of it. I had to get to the root of it. And I had to destroy the lies that I was believing. And demolishing, that word demolish, demolishing does not mean I address you, anxiety, you know. I'm going to be polite to you and I'm just going to accept that you're here in my life and that's just how it's going to be. Demolish is you get out in Jesus' name. Yes. Demolish is I am taking authority over you. You do not belong in me. I do not want you. And guess what? You're a big fat lie. Yes. That is demolishing an argument. Okay? And some of us, we need to get really real with the arguments that are going on that the devil is setting up in our hearts. Because we are walking out this life fearful and anxious and depressed, and we are not living at the fullness that God has for us. Amen? Amen. And so I'm using fear as an example, but this could be true for a lot of emotions. One that came to mind is loneliness. I'm feeling lonely. Okay, let's get to the root of that, God. And the root of that is I don't feel worthy of love. That's the root of my loneliness. And it's not just about saying, okay, you know, I'm not worthy of love and that's just who I am and that's what I believe and I live a life where I'm just not worthy of it. You have to actually go to that root and you have to pull it out of the ground from the origin of where it started. It's like weeds in our yard. If you pull a weed from the top, it's gonna grow back, right? You actually have to go to the root of where that weed started and you have to pull it up if you do not want it to come back again. And so sometimes it takes us going back and say, where did this start? This idea that I'm not worthy of love. Where did that lie come up in my life? Because if I'm gonna move forward and I'm gonna live in all that God has for me and I'm gonna believe that I'm worthy of his love and I'm worthy of the love around me, I have to actually dismantle and uproot that lie that the devil has tried to put inside of me. Yeah. Proverbs 28:26 says this, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And if you want to walk in wisdom, there is no better way than the voice of God. There is no better way than going to his word and hearing what he has to say to you in this season of time. And some of us in this room, we are spiritually starving. And we come to church on Sunday and we're like, yeah, pastor, give me a word and then I'll ride on it all week. I'll put in my earbuds. I'll listen to a podcast. I'll get a word. Okay, I'm feeling good. Oh, I'll post a quote on Facebook because that makes me feel kind of spiritual. I don't know. And we're starving because we're not in the word. We have lies coming at us all week and we don't know how to discern them because we don't actually know the truth. We don't know the truth. God's word is living and it's active. And he has a word for you in this season. And sometimes it is a blessing and it is awesome and somebody on a stage will preach that word to you. But let me tell you, you need to get into the word of God and you need to find it for yourself. Yes. Because we are all fighting a battle and God has a specific rhema word, a word that is just gonna go right to the heart of things and help you defeat the enemy in the season that you are in. You know, my mom, she actually used to scare me into memorizing scripture. Did anyone ever do Awana as a kid? Awana? Yeah, Awana. So Awana is this Bible memory verse program. I felt like I was a Girl Scout because you had vests on, but is very much not like Girl Scouts. And my mom used to drop me off at Awana. And this is such a picture of my mom. My mom would say to me every week as she dropped me off, "Mary, you need to memorize the Word of God. Because in the end times, you will not have a Bible. And you are going to need to testify to people why you believe in Jesus. And you are need to stand firm in your faith. And so you need to memorize the Word of God." And I'm five, like, what's the end times, Mom? Like, no idea what she's talking about. I know, this is my mom. But the truth is, we all need the Word of God in our heart. We all need the Word of God in our heart. And not because we're afraid. Not because we're afraid we're not gonna have Bibles one day. Because you are in a battle right now. And you need the Word of God inside of you so that you can discern lies from the enemy. And you can say, actually, no, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind because God's word is in my heart and I know that to be true. Amen? We need the word of God inside of us. And I wanna end today, Jay, you can come up. I wanna end today by talking about what it looks like to pursue God consistently. Because as emotionally driven people, our lives can often look like this, right? Yeah? And so we go through these great moments of excitement and of inspiration and motivation that, God, I love you and I'm on fire for you and I'm gonna read my Bible every day. And we go through these depths where, God, I don't really feel anything towards you. I don't feel motivated to get into the word. I'm kind of upset with you actually, God. But the thing is, we pursue a God who is never changing. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And so when we go through seasons like this, it's not God changing, it's how we feel that's changing. And when we talk about people who are on fire for God, it makes me think of, you know, Lou Engle and Heidi Baker and even our founder, Amy Semple McPherson. They are on fire for God. They are passionate for God. They are chasing after him. But you know what the funny thing about fire is? You actually have to work to keep a fire going. And many of us, we go to a conference, we go on a missions trip, we go to summer camp, and I'm like, God, I'm on fire for you. I'm gonna read my Bible every day. I love you so much, God. I'm gonna be a missionary. But then we come home and we feel differently, right? That fire is going to go out if you don't stoke it. If you are not intentional about keeping the fire alive in your relationship with Jesus, it will go out. 2 Timothy 1:6 talks about this. It says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. I remind you to stir up the gift of God within you." Because falling in love with someone isn't hard. It's staying in love with them. It's the chase. It's the pursuit that no matter how I feel, I'm gonna love you, God. No matter how exciting it is, I'm gonna search your word to know you better because I love you, God. And I'm not married, so I'm not gonna pretend like I'm married. But I do have a conviction about marriage. Marriage isn't about saying yes one time. Marriage is about saying yes over and over and over and over again. It's about the chase. It's about pursuing that person. And if you are gonna have a relationship that lasts, if you're gonna have a relationship that works, you're gonna have to put some work into it, right? So many of us in this room today, we've said yes to Jesus. We've done the stuff we need to do. But what happens the day after you get home from camp? What happens the day after you get home from being baptized? What happens when the feelings are gone? When the worship team's not there anymore? When nobody else is around? When nobody else is around, how do you feel about Jesus? That's a sobering question. When it is just you and him, how do you feel? You know, in Christian culture, I feel like we've really minimized this idea of devotionals. And devotionals have become this thing where we get our cup of coffee, we get our cute book, and we set it out, we take a picture, and that's devotionals. But devotion, the word devotion, means love, loyalty, or enthusiasm towards a person. So if I have devotion for God, I don't need to have a special app for that. I don't even need to do it at a special time of the day. It's just me lavishing my love on Jesus. And many of us in this room today, our flame is low. The fire is about to go out. And maybe we've been blaming God for this. Well, God, you just haven't shown up. God, you've been silent. God, I don't know where you are. What if I told you today, you need to start stoking the fire? You need to work on your relationship with Jesus. If you want it to last, if you want to be consistent, if you want to be constant in your pursuit of God, if you want to be on fire for Him, you got to stoke that fire. So as we end our time today, I just wanted to leave some space for us to lavish our love on Jesus. Can we do that together? Maybe for you, that's writing something out to the Lord. I love to express myself through writing sometimes. Maybe for you, it's getting on your hands and knees and just telling Him how you feel. Maybe it's singing out, expressing where you're at. But let's just lavish our love on God in this moment, okay? And I want to read that Psalm one more time, Psalm 139. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As we leave this place, God, we may stay open to you. That you would search our hearts, God, that you would know us. That we would go deep with you, God. Those of us that have a longing in our heart, God, to know you in a deeper way, to experience you in a greater way, God. Would our hearts be open, God, to the process of getting there? Would our hearts be open, God, to the process of going after hard things, going into the deeper things, Jesus, so that we can walk in our identity of who you've called us to be? So, God, we trust you in this process. Can you say that today? Say, we trust you, God. We trust you, God, even when it's hard, we trust you, Jesus, to lead us in the way of everlasting. So God, we seal this time. I pray breakthrough in each and every person's life, Jesus, that we would go after you like we've never gone after you before this week, God, and that you would show up, God, because you're faithful to show up for us. We love you so much, God. Amen. Well, we love you guys. Be the church this week.